Yes, our next storyteller is one of our storyboard members, Taylor Beard. I'm going to read the bio she wrote for us to read for you. As a Juneau brand Alaskan for 9 years now, it is well established that Taylor loves telling stories, in person and on the page, both true and those born of her imagination. Beyond that, she first and foremost loves her sons Otis and Arlo and her husband Ben and her old lady dog, Dixie Lou Freebush, and her two cats, the on and off again adversaries, Marshmallow and Minta. She absolutely adores interacting with good people, enjoys laughing, and has a distinct distaste for a very specific type of ice. Taylor.
Can you hear me now? All right. Okay, before I tell my story, I want to say that I go and volunteer at the food bank on Thursdays, and we wear overalls, which is why I'm wearing my overalls. And I have to say that I love going there. I leave every time, and I'm just jazzed, and I'm having a great time. I take my sons with me. We hand out food. And if you guys are looking for something to do on a Thursday, or really any time, you should check in with the food bank and see if they need help, because they always need volunteers. So please consider that. All right, so one afternoon I was at work with my best friend, and we were zoning out. And we're standing there, and she looks over and she goes, "Hey, when did you break your collarbone?" And I look at her like she's up in the night, because I've never broken my collarbone. And she's pretty vehement. She's like, "No, man, you definitely broke your collarbone. I can see it." And my now radiologist best friend, who at the time was applying for med school and teaching the anatomy lab, so like she knew what she was talking about, lifts my hand and shows me this very prominent bump on my collarbone. So would you all like to know how I broke my collarbone without knowing that I broke my collarbone? Yes? So 2 years earlier, my friend Giselle invited me to go camping in Moab for a long weekend. She goes, "Yeah, it's going to be awesome. There's a whole group of us going. It's going to be great. You should really come." And I'm like, "Sure. Yeah." She's like, "It's mostly Taylor's friends." Her boyfriend was also named Taylor. I have this weird penchant for being friends with other Taylors. So we talk about some cursory details, and, you know, she's going to text me when they find the campsite. And then as she's leaving, she goes, "Yeah, Taylor says you might need four-wheel drive to get to the campsite." And I'm like, okay. So this is now contingent upon my ability to convince my father to let me borrow his brand new F-350, which he miraculously agrees to. So as I'm loading up my entire CD collection, which is immense because at the time I was a DJ, Dad's standing there and he goes, "So I have a weird feeling about this, so I'd really like you to be extra careful." And I think I nodded and was like, yeah, okay, love you, bye. Because at this point, it's like after 5 p.m. and my brain's already on what music am I going to listen to during this five-hour drive. So I text Giselle that I'm getting on the road, and I'm jamming out to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and David Bowie, because like, what else are you going to listen to as you're driving through the desert? And I'm vibing hard. And I get to the point where I'm starting to wonder if I'm going to be taking the 128 or the 313 when I realize, I don't have a reply from Giselle. Which means I am basically in Moab, and I have zero idea where my friends are in this several hundred square mile recreation area. And it's 11 p.m. So, being the eternal optimist, I'm like, I'll just take a scoot down the 128, because that's the closest road that I know of that people camp off. We're talking, I drove 5 hours on blind faith alone. Not my finest cognitive moment, I admit this. And somehow I had the dumb luck after 10 minutes of driving to find this group of friends. It was like, what are the odds? And we all, ha ha, it's funny, she made it, yay. And so we go to bed. Well, okay, we didn't immediately go to bed. We wake up the next morning pretty early for a group of college kids that have been drinking all night. And I'm sitting there, you know, letting the caffeine percolate my bones when I overhear, so, you know, there's a few spots on the lion that we need to be really careful of because, you know, Zeb's buddy, the one with that gnarly GP, had a few tough moments. And I'm like, what? And it becomes really apparent to me that this camping trip has turned into a jeeping trip. And we're doing the notorious Lion's Back Trail in my father's brand new F-350. And while it has decent clearance, I'm a little reticent. See, Giselle and I were the only girls on the trip, and apparently the multitude of guys on the trip didn't think like, oh, this is, you know, this change of plans might be pertinent to tell them. No. But like I said, I'm an optimist. And since the other three vehicles were completely packed, and I had this group of college guys that seemed pretty cool, all pumping me up like, it's going to be fine. We'll be fine. You got this. I agreed to continue. And so one of the 15 guys that were on this trip, John, decides to join me and be my co-pilot. And for the most part, everything was fine. We spent 2 days maneuvering over this, frankly, ridiculous trail. And when I say that a standard clearance F-350 King Cab is not an ideal vehicle for this trail, this is putting it mildly. But I am, and honestly, I'm a complete boss at this. Like, I am killing it. I mean, I've gained the respect of all the men around me. One of them even is like, yeah, man, I totally didn't think you were going to be able to do this. And I had a hard internal debate, like, I'm going to spit in your beer when you take a piss, man. And I didn't. I was nice. So everything went really good until like the second night when one of our buddies got lost and we had to go look for him. And by 2 a.m., I'm dead tired. And while I promised my father that I was not going to let anybody else drive, if I drive any longer, I'm going to crash this vehicle. So I've been getting to know John pretty well, and I kind of like him a little bit. He seems competent enough, and it should be fine. And so he takes over, and I start passing out. And he very sweetly goes, you know, you can put your head in my lap and just stretch out. And I take him up on it because he genuinely seems like a nice guy. And we drive for like 10 minutes. And at that point, I can no longer fight the weird awareness of like, I am touching somebody else. And I pass out. I'm not even asleep for a minute before I'm being rocketed around this cab like a hyperspeed game of Pong. And when the truck finally comes to a rest after rolling repeatedly and end over ending, two times at least, I just start screaming because I'm legitimately dead. I'm super dead at this point. Because I don't know if I mentioned this, but this truck happened to be the replacement for the brand new F-350 that my younger sister totaled not 4 months before. Awesome, right? So we're fine. We think we're fine. We're fine, right? We crawl out of the truck. We crawl up this 50-foot embankment cliff thing. We go find reception, and we call the sheriff, and then we call my father, who answers after the second ring at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I freak out. I'm freaking out. And he's calm and asks me if I'm fine. And I freak out some more, and he goes, Taylor, I'm headed down there. I need you to listen to me. There is a pipe in the glove box that I need you to go find and get rid of. And I'm like, yes, my father, I will do this for you. I will take care of it. I'm also like, please don't kill me. And so we go back. John goes and finds the pipe and understandably smokes the rest of what's in it. And then he hands it to me and goes, huck it. Huck it as far as you can. And I blast that off into the ether, and we hear it go chink off this rock, and then we go to bed. And yeah, my mouth's super dry. And we go to bed, but we wake up at 6 a.m. when the sheriff rolls up to check out this accident. And who rolls in behind him but my father, who either found an Einstein-Rosen bridge or proved that BMW is lying about their top speed, because I do not know how he got here that fast. And we're walking, John and I are walking behind my father and the sheriff as they discuss this, and I see my father swipe down and grab something off the road. And it's the pipe. Because we didn't realize that we're standing next to a sheer rock wall, and I hucked it into that rock wall and it bounced back into the road. Perfect. And Dad and I are walking back after the sheriff, and he goes, "Well, bud, you fucked up, but you're okay, so it's all right. And hey, man, I got to keep my favorite pipe, so it's totally fine." Thank you.